Special. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to the book of the Revelation. Revelation chapter 21 this morning. And we've been studying for several weeks now about walking in the light, and we've learned so much, but today we're going to learn about the light of eternity. Revelation chapter 21. There's a lot of things about the revelation that God gives us in His Word. I'll just be quite honest with up front with you. There's a lot of it that I don't understand, but there's so many great truths here that can help us. And as we study about walking in the light, it's important for us to learn about the light of eternity. But sometimes we can do things even if we don't understand them completely. I read about a man named Frank. For years, his wife begged him to take her hunting with him. And finally, Frank gave in, and he took his wife out to the deer stand. Now, he had a couple of stands set up, and he took her to the best one, which was, I thought, was pretty big of Frank to do. Because a lot of you fellas, if you took somebody hunting with you, you would never give them the best spot. But Frank did. Amen. That's right. But Frank did. He took his wife, he put her up in the best spot. The deer often came through there and set her up really well. And then he got down after he got her all situated, and he went over to another stand some ways off through the brush. And he just as he got set down in a stand, he heard two shots. And he thought, oh man, if she gets a deer before I do, I'll never live it down. But then he heard his wife screaming at somebody. She was saying, "That's my deer. Get away from it. That's my deer." And so, man, he got down and went over there as fast as he could. And he sees his wife screaming at this guy. And she's waving her rifle around and telling this guy to get back. That's her deer. And finally, the guy says, "Look, lady, you can have your deer, all right? Just let me get my saddle off of it first." So maybe... maybe there were some things she didn't quite understand about that deer hunting. But there's some things that we can understand great from the Word of God today. And I want to invite you to stand with me as we look in Revelation chapter 21. Now, there's a ton of verses I want to share with you today. And we'll do a lot of reading, and I won't do quite so much preaching today. Amen. Never seen so many people look so happy all at once. That's right. He knows better. I'm going to try to read more and do a little less preaching, but we want to take our text from Revelation chapter 21. Look down at verse 11. We'll back up in a minute, but let's look at verse 11 to take our text from there. And I want you to see just a few things here. "Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal." Now look down at verse 22. "And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your great word, for the promises that we hold to from your word of eternity. And Lord, I pray that every man, woman, boy, and girl in this service today that's of that age of accountability has come to a place where they have repented of their sin and put their faith and trust in Christ alone. And I pray, dear Lord, that if there is someone here today who's never been saved, Lord, as we look to the light of eternity, we see all the wonderful things you have in store for those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I pray today, if there's one unsaved here, that they will repent of their sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and call on you for eternal life today. And Lord, please convict our hearts today by your word that we would live in the light of eternity each day. And Lord, we just pray that you would help us to be found faithful when you come again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. There's so much that I want to share with you today, but I just want you to consider with me for just a second this fact. We've studied and studied and studied that Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light of the whole world, and they tell me that there are 7 billion people on planet Earth today. 7 billion with a B. Now, I can't even comprehend that number. But do you know that Jesus Christ is light enough for every single soul? All 7 billion, and not just the 7 billion that are alive today, but the billions who have lived in the past. And all those who will be born into the future, Jesus is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. He's the one true light for everybody. There was a little boy, they were having a Sunday school program, and the little boy was having a hard time. He forgot his lines, but it was okay because mama was on the front row to help him out. And finally, she gave him his cue, and his line was, "I am the light of the world." And you know how that goes. Mama's on the front row whispering, "I am the light of the world." And boy, the little boy just lit up, and he said, "My mama is the light of the world." Maybe we got a lot of moms here today that are the light of the world, but the reality is Jesus is the light of the whole world. He's light enough for every soul. But I want you to know this. Jesus isn't just the light of the world, as if that's not huge enough. Jesus is the light for all eternity. I read that in Livermore, California, there is a light that has been burning almost nonstop. They've moved it a couple of times, but almost nonstop since 1901. This light has burned continuously. I'm like, these newfangled things that I have to buy for my house now last about 5 months. You know the good ones that are supposed to last for a long time? This light's been burning for a long time, but did you know that one day that light will burn out? Every light in this creation one day will burn out. Even the stars will go out one day. The sun will be gone one day. All of the lights will be out except for one. And that light that will last for all eternity is Jesus. He is the light for all eternity. His light will never be extinguished. His light will never dim. His light will never fade. Even one lumen, His light will last for all eternity. And that's the light we want to learn about today. If you'll look back in your Bible with me to Revelation chapter 21, I want to read with you through Revelation 21 and just kind of look at it very quickly as we can, verse by verse. And I want you to see this. And as studying, preparing this message, you know, a lot of times I try to trim it down and just focus on some main things. And sometimes we got to leave some things out for sake of time. But this morning, there's just too much good stuff here. We just can't leave it out. So let's look at Revelation 21:1, and it says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." All these things in the world that we love, this world that we get so enamored with, and the things that are here, all of these great things that God created, it's all going to be gone one day. Everybody get that? Every last thing, it's going to be gone because God is going to pass, those things are going to pass away, and He's going to make all things new. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And verse 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." Not only one day is Jesus Christ going to rule and reign on the earth for 1,000 years, but after that time, He's going to make a new heaven, a new earth, and a new city, New Jerusalem, the holy city of God, and God will be with us and dwell with us, and we will be His people, and it will last forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Listen to this promise. "And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." I don't know about you, but I hate death. But the light of Jesus will overcome death forever. I don't know about you, but I don't care much for sorrow, and even though my mama told me it was okay for boys to cry, I don't like crying very much. But Jesus is going to do away with all of that. There won't be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. The Bible says in Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. I'm telling you that God is going to make something so glorious, so wonderful, so brilliant, so bright, so wonderful that we won't even remember the bad stuff. Amen. Isn't that awesome? Amen. You ever been inside and on a day like this, here in a little while, when you walk outside, it's so bright outside. You ever walk into something so bright, you step outside, it's so bright, you can't really see anything? I get an idea that that's kind of what heaven's going to be like, man. We're gonna be there, and that new city's going to come down. It's going to be so bright, so brilliant, so glorious, so wonderful. It's going to be so bright, we really can't see anything else but Jesus and His glory. Forget all the rest of this. Verse 5, and He that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Jesus Christ is the beginning, and he is the ending. It was Jesus in the beginning that said, let there be light. And for all the ages of the earth, he is the light of the world. And when all of this world and this age is completely done and we enter a new age of eternal life, he'll be the light of that too. He was the light in the beginning, he'll be the light in the ending, and he's the light forevermore. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. Well, who is it that overcomes? 1 John 5. Verses 4 and 5 says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You want to inherit eternal life? You want to be in that glorious city forever and ever in the brilliant light of Jesus? Then believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today. Verse 8, but there's a reality that we need to understand this morning. And if you don't know Jesus, if you've never trusted in Him, you need to get this today. Because in the midst of all this glory and all this splendor and all this wonder of heaven, there's a but. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all, what's that next word? Liars. To clear this up real quick, how many of you have ever told a lie? See your hand? How many lies do you have to tell before you're a liar? How many people you got to murder before you're a murderer? I want you to get this today, because you might look at that list and say, well, you know, I'm not a lot of those things, but we're all liars. Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Listen, if you want to have a part of verse 7, and you want to avoid having a part in verse 8, the difference is faith in Christ alone. It's not in how good you are. It's not in where you went to church. It's not in where you got baptized or how many good deeds you did versus your bad deeds. It's all about our faith in Christ alone. We need to repent of our unbelief and put our faith and trust in Christ alone and stop rejecting Him and His way, because He is the only way. Verse 9, and there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending down descending out of heaven from God. Hebrews 11, 16 says, but now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. And this city that's coming down that John sees in the Revelation is the same city that Abraham was looking for in his day. Amen. It's the same city that we have to look forward to today. Amen. The city that God is preparing, Jesus Christ preparing, even today. Verse 11, having the glory of God, and her light was likened to a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. I can't even begin to understand. I understand that the jasper stone is a type of quartz and it usually has a red or a yellow tint, but this jasper stone was clear. And the glory and the brilliance of God shines through it, is reflected and refracted through it, and it just multiplied. The city multiplies the glory of Jesus Christ. And had a wall great and high and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east 3 gates, on the north 3 great gates, on the south 3 gates, and on the west 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs, and the length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. And the first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third, a chalcedony. The fourth, an emerald. The fifth, sardonyx. The sixth, sardius. The seventh, chrysolite. The eighth, beryl. The ninth, topaz. The tenth, chrysoprasus. And the 11th, jacinth. And the 12th, amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of that city was pure gold, as it were transparent as glass. Preacher, what does all that mean? I say, I don't know, but it's going to be awesome. Amen. How big is that? Huge. I read that figures out to be about 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles. And it's going to be glorious. And all of that beauty and all of that just splendor of it is going to reflect the glory and the brightness of Jesus around that new city and around that new heaven and around that new earth forever and ever and forever. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Don't you want to go to that place? Verse 22, and I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, and there shall be no night there, and there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, on either side of the river, there was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. You know, I'm just like everybody else. Every time I have to preach a funeral or attend a funeral, one of the things I cling to is the fact that one day I'll see that loved one who trusted Jesus again. I think it's going to be a glad reunion day. But from the bottom of my heart, my desire to see Jesus is so much greater than to see those loved ones who've gone on. One day, the one we see only by faith today, we will see face to face. Amen. And his name shall be in their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Listen, dear friend, we've got a lot to look forward to if we have faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And that place sounds awesome. What are we going to do there? We're going to worship Jesus. Amen. For how long? There's no time there. It's just forever. No more sickness, no more pain, no more crying, no more death. Just the light of Jesus. And worshiping him forever and ever. You see the brilliance of the holy city. Just let me remind you real quickly. Back in verse 11, we saw that it's a beautiful light. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And I don't think we can quite grasp in our minds today how huge it's going to be, and how beautiful it's going to be, and how incredible it's going to be. I mean, I've seen some pretty awesome things in this world. I've seen mountains that were beautiful that took my breath away. And I've stood out in the middle of the night and seen the brilliance of the billions and billions of stars and all their glory up in the heavens and the Milky Way and all the rest of it. It has been awesome. And I've been to the ocean and I've seen the waves come crashing in. And I've seen some pretty awesome things in this world. But we just can't even begin to comprehend how beautiful heaven's going to be. How wonderful it's going to be. His light is beautiful. His light is better. Verse 23, we read, and the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And man, I'm telling you, I'm amazed at the glory of the sun. Every day when you watch the sun come up, it's a beautiful thing. Isn't it? I mean, just as it begins to come up and it begins to take away the darkness that's around us and the twilight begins to diminish and the gray begins to fade and it becomes light and it's beautiful. And it's nothing to be compared to the light of Jesus. The other night we went out and watched the supermoon eclipse. How many of you saw that? Man, that was cool, wasn't it? It didn't go quite fast enough for my kids. But we watched the shadow creep across that moon and watched the moon turn colors, and it was awesome. But I want to tell you, the next night, the moon was even more awesome to me. I mean, it was down low on the horizon, and it was big, and it was beautiful, and it was incredible. And it's nothing compared to the glory of Jesus. You see, his light is better. God created light on the first day of creation. Let there be light. On day four, he created the sun and the moon, and for millennia they've been giving their light day and night after day after night after day after night. But this day, their purpose will come to an end because they won't be needed anymore. We'll have a better light. His light is not only beautiful and better, but it's boundless. In verse 24, we read, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. His light is enough for the whole new heaven and new earth. It just shines everywhere. How does that work? I don't know. Because here on earth, it's always dark somewhere. Right? Pretty sure that's the way that works. We get about half a day of sunlight and a half a day of dark, and somewhere around there, every day, we go round and round. But on that new earth, it's never going to be night. Jesus' light shines everywhere. It's boundless by space. It's boundless by time. Verse 25, the gates of it shall not be shut all the day, for there shall be no night therein. In verse chapter 22, verse 5, there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light. The light of eternity. But I want to share something else with you this morning before I quit. We see how incredible heaven's going to be, the light of it, how beautiful, how wonderful. But I want to share with you how we ought to live in the light of eternity. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3 very quickly. Turn back to 2 Peter chapter 3. You find chapter 3, look down at verse 7. Second Peter 3 and verse 7. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and the perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. See, long before that city comes down from heaven, long before all of that takes place, or before all of that can take place, all of this has to be burned up. He won't bring in the new until he does away with the old. If we're not careful, we'll love this world. And we'll love the things of this world. But in light of the fact that all of this is going to be burned up, how should we live? Number one, be saved. Verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus Christ died for all, because all were dead. He died on Calvary's cross to save every man, woman, boy, and girl who would ever live. And salvation is available to everybody. But we must repent. And we must believe in Christ alone. I want to ask you this morning, has there ever been a moment in your life? Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again. Has there ever been a moment when you put your faith and trust in Christ alone? I mean a moment when you repented, you turned from your sin, and in your heart you believed and you prayed and asked Him to save you. That happened for me when I was 14 years old. I was one of those that thought I was saved when I was younger, but I'm telling you, I know the moment, I know the place, I know the time. I know because God did something in my heart. He changed me. Amen. And when you get saved, you know you're saved. Amen. How you know, preacher? Well, my Bible says that the Lord puts His Spirit in you. when you get saved. Amen. And that His Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do you know you're saved? Well, the Bible says you have to repent of your sin, believe in Jesus Christ, and call on Him to be saved. And if you've done what the Bible says, then you'll know you're saved. Listen to me. There is this incredible place called heaven. There's this incredible thing that God's going to do, a new heaven, a new earth, and a holy city, New Jerusalem. And you can have a place there if you'll only repent and believe. But let me warn you today, if you don't repent, you will likewise perish as many have before. If you don't believe, if you reject Jesus Christ, you will have your part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. Please, if you've never been saved, trust Jesus today. Be saved. Number two, be sanctified. Be sanctified. There ought to be a change in our life after we're saved. There ought to be a difference. There ought to be the putting off of the old man and putting on of the new man. It ought to be a continual process throughout our life. Pastor called one of the church members' house one day and needed to talk to the lady of the house for whatever reason, and the four-year-old little girl answered the phone. You see, her mom was getting lunch ready, and she had one of those old glass Heinz bottles, and she was trying to get the ketchup out. And little girl said, "Mama's busy. She can't come to the phone right now because she's hitting the bottle." How many of you remember the glass bottles? Yeah, that was good times. When you had to work for your food. These fancy squeeze bottles and stuff. She's hitting the bottle. I'm sure that took a little explaining. But the reality is, friend, we've got some things in our past that ought to change in our present. The reality is that whether in your past you used to really hit the bottle, or you used to lie, or you used to steal, or you used to be a fornicator or an idolater or whatever else it may be, we're to put the past in the past. Put off the old man and put on the new man and live. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? We ought to live godly, because who cares about what happens? This world's going to go away one day. And we need to live a godly life, separated and holy and sanctified for the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus is coming again, and we ought to be sanctified in every part of ourselves, every part of our being. How do we do that? Hebrews 10:23 says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Hold fast to your faith and be faithful in God's house and live out your Christian life and be sanctified by the Holy Spirit of God. Be saved, be sanctified. Number three, be seeking. Verse 12 said, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God." And verse 13 goes on to say, "Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Verse 14, "Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot and blameless." I'm going to ask you a question. When's the last time it occurred to you that Jesus could come back today? When's the last time it occurred to you that all of this is going to be gone and we're going to be in heaven with Jesus forever? Listen, there was a time in days past when life wasn't so easy and life wasn't so comfortable and life was hard. And my grandparents and great-grandparents, they had to worry about where their next meal was going to come from a lot of times. And you know, in those days, people were looking for heaven. They were longing for that day. For the deliverance of the Lord, they yearned for it. They were looking for it. You know what? Today we are so comfortable in our lives that we don't even think about heaven. Life's pretty stinking good right now like it is. We kind of like it the way it is. I think sometimes we get too comfortable. I'm just trying to tell you this morning that if we are really saved and we're not looking forward to heaven, we've got a problem. Because this is nothing. We're blessed. We are so blessed. But this is nothing compared to what He has in store for us. So the next time you have a trial, next time you have a tribulation, next time life's hard, next time that stomach virus comes to visit your house, that's the last time I really was looking forward to heaven. Be thankful for it. Be thankful for the trial. Because it'll remind you that this isn't it. You got something far better to be living for. Far better to be looking for. Be saved, be sanctified, be seeking. And lastly, be soul winning. In Jude, verses 20 and 23, 20 to 23, the Bible says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life." See, when you start looking for eternal life, when you start looking for heaven, change your activity here. Verse 22, "And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." How do we live in light of eternity? Well, first, we need to be saved. Second, we need to be sanctified. Third, we need to be seeking. And finally, we need to be soul winning. Yesterday, we had a booth over at the Old Settlers Day, and lots of people came by and got to give out a lot of gospel tracts and talk to people, and it was a beautiful day. It was a great day. Got to share the gospel with the young lady named Rachel. Yeah, I pray for Rachel because she's not saved. I shared the gospel with Rachel, and then I turned to her friend that was with her, and I asked her about her salvation. She said she was saved when she was 7 years old, and I thought, praise God. But then I tried to challenge those young ladies because I said, I want you to look around because everybody we see right here today is a soul that's going to spend eternity somewhere. Amen. Those 7 billion people on the planet, each one is an eternal soul. Amen. And if their name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life by faith in Christ alone, they'll get to go to that heavenly city. Amen. But if their name is not written there, they will be cast into the lake of fire forever and ever. Do you believe in heaven and hell? Do we really believe it? Do we believe that this life isn't it, that our souls go on forever and ever, and that God's prepared a place called heaven where we can spend eternity with Him? But He's also prepared a place for the devil and his angels. And everyone who doesn't believe in Jesus will spend eternity in the lake of fire. I mean, do we really believe those things? Because if we're going to live in light of eternity, we're going to be doing all we can to reach other souls with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every person we meet is going to spend eternity somewhere. But God has charged us with giving the gospel to them. I'm going to ask that you'll stand with me. We have our musicians come. And this morning, as we get ready to sing this verse of invitation, I want you to look into your heart today. See, I don't know everybody's heart. I don't know everybody's eternal destiny. I can't see that. But this morning, you know in your heart whether you're saved or not. You know where you're going to spend eternity. It's right there inside of you. God convicts you and He puts it in you, and you know. And if you're not 100% sure that you're going to be in heaven forever with God because of faith in Christ alone, please come. Please come to Jesus today. Don't be too proud to step out And let us show you in the Bible how you can know for sure you have eternal life. I know it's 2015, but people still get saved at an invitation in Baptist churches today.
Amen.
If you need to be saved, come and be saved today. And if you know you're saved, are you living in light of eternity? Are you being sanctified? Are you seeking and longing for that day? Are you striving to reach other souls with the gospel? The Holy Spirit's convicting your heart. Would you come?
Page 566.
So we sing number 566. Holy Spirit's convicting. He's calling. Would you come?